Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
We're glad that you're here with us. Welcome to Salt Creek. And we are in our summer series called Front Porch Wisdom. And in this series, we are going through the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is full of wisdom, of course. Think of it as a book of wisdom. And as we go through this, we're addressing different topics within Proverbs. It's kind of a challenging book to go through verse by verse because the topics kind of start jumping around a little bit. And so we're just going through these different... we are talking about anger. James, in his letter in the New Testament, speaks about anger. And it's interesting, I was kind of realizing as I was looking at some of the different things in Proverbs this week, and then I was thinking of this passage in James, and looking more at James and more at Proverbs, how much the topics of that James writes about are almost a commentary on the Proverbs. Almost every major theme in Proverbs you can find, James mentions it and addresses it. And so it just, again, I was just reinforced that, you know, so much of this wisdom literature is repeated there in the New Testament for us, and a lot of it in James. But in particular, in that passage in James that Carl read for us earlier, it says that the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And this verse was just ringing in my ears this week as I was preparing this message and studying through. A lot of times, we will talk about, when we talk about anger, we'll talk about what is called righteous anger, or anger that is justified because what we're angry about is something we should be angry about. And we go to the example of Jesus in the temple where he turns over the tables where the money changers were working and profiting from people who were coming to sacrifice. And it was sinful and it was wrong. And Jesus exercises what we would say is righteous anger. But then I read in James where it says the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And I'm reminded that Jesus is more than man. He is the man God. And he has perfect humanity, whereas I am not perfect humanity. I am fallen humanity who is being redeemed by God and in process of that. And I wonder if... I'm picking up kind of an odd... Is that my microphone? Yeah, I've got a microphone failure. Hang on a second. That should be better. Okay. With having the masks, I've gone back to the lapel microphone, and it doesn't work well when it falls back down inside your shirt. So there you go. All right. Now it's a little bit hot there. So talking about anger, it gives me pause when I think about Jesus as perfect humanity, no sin nature, and the nature of God together. I trust in his righteous anger. I don't know how much I trust in my anger to be righteous because I have this sin nature that I deal with and wrestle with. And so I'm as I've studied this, I'm increasingly convinced that my anger does not serve God's purposes. And what James is talking about is very much true. Now, before I continue on a message about anger, I need to share a little bit of my story in this because this is something that I have wrestled with and struggled with in my life. So it was last year that I participated in a leadership program with our conference of churches called Blue Ocean, and they do training for pastors and missionaries, and they have training for us in missional theology and how do we reach out as a church and what are things that we should be doing, how do we think about God's mission and such. But then there's also a section on spiritual formation. And the section on spiritual formation is because we reproduce what we are. And so if we as pastors are not healthy, are not spiritually formed in good ways, the disciples that we will produce will also be unhealthy as well. And so a healthy leader produces healthy disciples in that idea. So we had this section on spiritual formation, and it was in that time that I felt like God started exposing some things in my life, areas that still needed forming. And one of those areas was anger. Now, I've always had some issues with anger, and I've never really understood where it came from until I was doing that spiritual formation work, and God started revealing some areas, some deep areas of shame in my life from earlier seasons of my life. And so when I got done with that Blue Ocean, I felt very strongly that I needed to start working with a counselor to address these areas of shame in my life that were coming out as anger, and work on that and hopefully grow in managing my anger. And I've learned much. I've grown much. I can identify sources of anger much more easily now, because as you've probably learned, if you've done any study in this area, that anger is what we would call a secondary emotion, and it's rooted in some other emotion that surfaces. And I can't say that I never get angry. My family's here. They would attest to that I still get angry at times. But I do think that I am growing in this area. And we recognize here that Proverbs has much to say about anger. And my prayer for us today, for myself and for you, is that we would have open hands, open heads, and open hearts to receive from God what it is that He has for us to learn in this area. And so before we get into the different Proverbs that we're going to be looking at, let's just pray and invite God into this time. Father God, Lord, we know that You are with us, for Your word says we're two or more. You are gathered with us in that. And so we thank You for that. God, we ask that Your Spirit would do a work in us as we hear Your word, as we receive it, as we process it. And God, may we apply it. Walk away from the mere forgetting what we look like and walk away from the word forgetting what it is spoken to us. God, that we would receive it, that we would apply it. And so, God, would You do Your work in our hearts today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have two main questions that we're going to ask the text about. And then we're going to let Proverbs speak into those areas. So first is, what does anger reveal about us? What does anger reveal about me, about you, about us as people? And these are some general things that anger reveals about us. So the first one is, anger reveals our foolishness. Anger reveals our foolishness. Let's look at a couple of Proverbs and see what this means here. So in chapter 12, verse 16 says, "A fool's displeasure is known at once, but whoever ignores an insult is sensible." And Proverbs 27:3 says, "A stone is heavy and sand a burden, but aggravation from a fool outweighs them both." See, anger is often a response that comes on rather quickly in a situation. That's what I find most of the time, is it's my initial response, my quick-tempered response that is the anger. There is a type of anger that is a slow burn, and you start realizing over time and recognizing, I actually am angry about this situation. That does happen, but more often than not, I think it is that initial quick-tempered response that we experience anger in. And Proverbs attributes that quick anger to a foolishness here. I think we've all done this before, right? We call it putting our foot in our mouth. Where we had a quick response to something, and it was quite possibly anger. And after the fact, when we've had some time to think about it, some time to reflect on it, some time to cool down, we look at that and we say, I don't even know why I was angry. It was not that big of a deal. That was really silly of me in that situation. You've had those, I know I have, and I'm sure that you've had those experiences as well. And it's that initial quick-tempered anger that shows a foolishness because we realize that was a really foolish thing to be angry about. And many times I've had to apologize for my foolish words said in anger. Now, the limitation there, it is good to apologize, and I can get that apology right. I can say all of the right words. I can be sincere. I can even have tears in it, and I can do a great apology, and I can receive that forgiveness back. But what I can never do is I can never take the words back. If you speak something in anger, it is spoken, right? You can't take those words back. Oftentimes, the damage is done. We can work through it and we can do better, but those words are already out there. And it reveals our foolishness more often than not. Secondly, not only our foolishness, it reveals our selfishness. Our anger reveals our selfishness. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger and holds it in check." Once again, we see this idea of foolishness coming in, but it's even more than that. It reveals our selfishness. Often our anger is associated with our perceived needs not being met. Our expectations of someone in our life, and they don't rise up to those expectations, and we get angry over it. Parents get angry with their children because they fail to meet the expectations. They don't do what they were supposed to do. Or maybe you have conflict with your spouse over the division of labor in the home, and you don't feel like they're carrying their weight in this, and they are not meeting your expectations. And then there's an anger that develops there. Or maybe it's with a coworker at work that you feel like, man, they're kind of lazy, they're not doing their job on the project, they're not carrying their weight, and I'm angry because they are not meeting my expectations. And we might try to justify this anger as being a righteous anger because the other person is clearly in the wrong because my expectations have to be right and they don't meet my expectations. But more often than not, I think if we, in those situations, were to be able to slow down and think through, we might realize that our anger is actually about our selfishness and what we have decided the situation should look like. And it's not meeting our expectations, and we are getting angry. We need to be reminded of what Paul says in Philippians 2 on this one, where he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others." See, if we can capture this passage, I think these times where our anger is rooted in our selfishness, we wouldn't struggle quite as much in it. There's a third one that it reveals. It reveals our rebelliousness as people. It reveals our rebelliousness. Proverbs 29:22, "An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered one increases rebellion." And in 16:32, "Patience is better than power, and conquering a city." Now, we all have a sin nature. Jenny talked about that we were made in the image of God, which is true, but then right after that in chapter 3, Adam and Eve sinned. And ever since then, we have inherited the sin nature as people. Now, those who are trusting in Jesus and have put their faith in Jesus are being redeemed as a child of God and have a new heart, but we still battle with this fleshly body that we are in and this sin nature. This is what Paul was talking about in Romans 7. "I do what I don't want to do, but it's not I who do it, but the sin that lives within me." That's not my redeemed self, but I still have this sin nature that I am wrestling with. And because of this sin nature, we all have this rebellious streak that comes out, this propensity to go against authority, to go against what we're told. And the funny thing, you don't have to teach this to children, do you? parents of toddlers are like, uh-huh, yeah, right? Words that kids learn. No. Now, part of it is because we're telling them no so often, right? But they want to push back. They're going to push those boundaries. Where does that come from? That consciousness that is natural to our sin nature. And Proverbs is clear that having patience in a matter and controlling one's emotions are far greater than rebelling in anger. See, being upset about a situation in that is not an excuse for a sinful response to it. Larry Crabb, this quote is on the sermon sheets there, those of you that have those. But Larry Crabb, Christian psychologist, counselor, author of many books, made this statement in his book Inside Out. And I thought it was very profound and speaks to this idea here. He says, "Certainly we struggle as victims of other people's unkindness." Or I might insert anger there, right? "We have been sinned against, but we cannot excuse our sinful responses to others' mistreatment of us. We are responsible for what we do. We are both strugglers and sinners, victims and agents, hurt and people who harm." Now, what's difficult in all of this is it's much easier for me to notice rather than recognize when I've hurt someone else. And the point is that we don't get to justify our anger just because we've been hurt by someone. We don't get to justify our hurting of someone else as a response to that. We are still responsible for and accountable for our behavior, no matter how hurt we've been, no matter how much anger we feel over that hurt, no matter how wrong it was, we are still responsible for our behavior in that. So these are things that anger reveals in us in general. The other question that we have is, what does anger result in for us? When we let our anger out, what things happen in our lives? Well, quite simply, anger brings consequences. It brings consequences. Proverbs 19:19 says, "A person with intense anger bears the penalty. If you rescue him, you'll have to do it again." See, God, thankfully, God is at work in us. As followers of Christ, he is at work in us. We are being redeemed. The Spirit is at work. And there is something that Paul talks about in Galatians 5 called the fruits of the Spirit. And this is as the Holy Spirit is at work in you, you grow in these fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit are these. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now notice in that list how many of those are antithetical to anger. Self-control. Right? Peace. Patience. Kindness. These are all opposites of anger. Right? Now, in order to experience these things, we have to be surrendered to the Spirit's work. There is a participation that we have in this, and we grow in this area. But without that growth, we will continue to struggle with our anger. And Proverbs makes the point here that if you rescue someone from the consequences of their anger, you're going to have to do it again and again and again and again. See, God has designed his world to work in this way. Consequences are a great teacher that God has put into his world. And we learn through consequences. Children learn through consequences. We as adults can still learn through consequences. But if you, as someone who is in relationship with that person, rescue them from the consequences of their anger every time, guess what? They never learn that their anger is. And they will continue to use anger as a tool. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So we are better off to let that consequence stand in that so that the lesson can be learned. I can't remember all the circumstances around this when this happened. But I do remember this was, we were living in Washington, and we were trying to get out of the house. I believe it's just me, and I don't remember how many of the kids. It might have been the whole family at home, but I was helping our oldest get his shoes on. So this was quite a few years ago. He's 18 now. He doesn't need that kind of help anymore. I was getting frustrated. And I was getting angry. And in frustration, I picked up the shoe and I threw it. You know, now I think about it, it might have even been my shoe. I don't know. But I think it was his shoe. And I threw it. And I threw it against a wall. Now, that makes no sense, right? Honestly, who throws a shoe anyway, right? So I throw the shoe and it hits the wall. Cracks the sheetrock, dents it a little bit. Along and patch that wall to remove the consequence of that. And there wasn't a handyman or, you know, a landlord or anything like that to fix it. It was there. As a reminder, every time I walked by that, every time we saw that, that's Dad's anger right there. That's Dad's anger. It took me 7 or 8 years after that to start working on my anger. If I was maybe a little bit smarter, I would have started realizing sooner that I needed to work on this. So I probably said I was working on it, but I wasn't really actually doing anything to work on it. But the consequence had to be a lesson. Eventually, we decided when we were moving here that we were selling the house, and I finally got around to fixing the wall. It was my consequence. We need to be careful to not bail people out because we don't learn our lessons in that. So not only does it bring consequences, anger brings strife. It brings strife in our life. Couple of passages here. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but one slow to anger calms. And another one, Proverbs 30:33, for the churning of milk produces butter, and twisting a nose draws blood, and stirring up anger produces strife. Have you ever observed people, maybe a friend that you know, maybe a family member that you know, but someone that there's just a lot of conflict in their life? It seems like every time they talk about things, they're in conflict with somebody, and there's some kind of fight, some kind of argument, some kind of person they're not talking to anymore. Why is that? And then you've got somebody else who's living life, and there's not a whole lot of conflict in their life. I think it might be rooted in what Proverbs is telling us here, that when we live life with a lot of anger, we will have a lot of conflict in our life. And that list of people that we refuse to talk to grows and grows and grows. Or the number of other people's lists who won't talk to us grows and grows and grows. Because we're in conflict all the time with people. Because, not because they're bad or they're mean or something like that. It's actually because of our anger. Because Proverbs tells us that it creates strife in our lives. And Paul challenges us in Romans 12:18 that we are to do all that we can to live in peace with everyone. But when we're angry all the time, it's really hard to live this verse out when we're angry all the time. Because then we're in conflict with people all of the time. Our anger brings strife. There's one more. Our anger brings brokenness. It brings brokenness. Proverbs 25:22 says, a person who does not control his temper is like a city whose wall is broken down. See, over time, anger has a way of relationships. Time erodes a city wall. People can manage to be around us a little bit. But if we're constantly angry, that's not very fun to be around. My family's had to tell me that at times. You know what? You're angry, and it's not fun being around you right now. And that was just the truth. Because I've had to work on that. It's not fun being around somebody who's angry all the time. You know, when we look around and we see a trail of brokenness behind us, that might be an indicator that maybe we might have a problem with anger. We see our children wounded and hurting, our spouses feeling lonely and neglected, our friendships are fractured, our workplace is lonely because nobody wants to talk to us because we're the angry coworker. These things should serve as warning signs to us that maybe, just maybe, the problem isn't out there, but the problem might be in here. See, what makes this one difficult, what makes it so difficult, is it is really easy to look outside and see a broken wall, right? And see a crumbling building, and see something where somebody threw a shoe and broke a wall, right? It's easy to see that. That's got to be fixed. What's harder is to see what's happening in here. And it's hard to recognize that at times. It's much easier to recognize brokenness in other people. It's harder to see it in ourselves and then admit it in ourselves. That's the whole thing of the plank eye that Jesus talked about. You know, it's easier to see the small speck in somebody else's eye while there's a log or a plank in my own. So for me, as God continued to, in His grace, show me and show me and show me, and finally to the point where it's like, okay, I need to sit down with somebody who knows how to help people in this area. And I finally started working in this area with a counselor. And maybe God's stirring something in you and realizing, you know what? Some of that describes me. Some of it does. I know it describes me. And I'm still growing in that area. Maybe you feel the same way. I would say you need someone who can help you identify those things. And there are professionals who do that, that are believers, and they love Jesus, and they love to help people learn and grow in these areas. Because it is hard to do this on your own, because it's so hard to see it in ourselves. And so I would encourage you to take that step to ask for help in this area, if you feel like God is leading you here in that. Real quick, we want to recapture our points here. Anger reveals these three things: our foolishness, our selfishness, and our rebelliousness. It reveals those things about us as people in general. And then what it results in for us, those consequences, strife all over the place in our life, and then this brokenness that grieves us because it surrounds us. I'm going to pray before coming over to the communion table for that time. So, Father God, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the wisdom of Proverbs, God, how it presses in against our the things that we think are right, and it challenges those. And God, may we listen to the wisdom of May we listen to what Your Spirit is saying to our hearts. May we have courage to apply Your word. May we have courage to ask others in our lives about how we're doing in this. And may we have courage to ask for help if we need help in this area. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.